Subcommittee meeting for the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for Thursday, March 17, 2005. This will be a relatively short meeting. Mr. Bender is going to go over some materials with us, and I'll comment on some of those materials. We will have more materials for you tomorrow also that he might comment on.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. The Chair has asked me to present a brief overview of the process that you'll be following next week when you do your prioritization week, and then phase two, which will start the week following that. And what I'd like to do is just distribute to you some materials, talk about what will be going on next week, and distribute some materials to you that we hope will assist you in your work next week. So if I could just ask you to please take one of these. Mr. Chair, you already have it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And each of you will have two copies. We'll explain to you that in a minute.
The co-chairs have asked the subcommittees to take a week take time out during the week of March 21st through March 24th to look at the programs that the agencies in the subcommittees have identified and to begin a process of prioritizing or reprioritizing those programs. As you may recall, each agency submitted a list of its programs of all the programs that it has funded in its governor's recommended budget in the order of priority from highest to lowest, as far from the agency's point of view. And eventually, the co-chairs are asking each subcommittee to provide them with a list of all of the programs across agencies, so all of the programs and education agencies for you in your own priority order list. However, that is not what they are asking you to do during this next week that's coming up. Instead, they are asking you to begin to look at the agency programs and to try to reach some type of basic understandings as to which programs may be more important, may be of higher priority to you than others, but they are not asking you to submit any particular list. And indeed, during this upcoming week, there will not even be any committee votes on this particular question. But we see that the upcoming week as a time for the subcommittee to discuss these programs and to learn more, to identify which programs you need more information about, and to begin this process of looking at the programs and figuring out which ones are most important to you.
Within their various silos, so within ODE, yeah, as opposed to comparing one program of ODE to OUS.
To be really direct about this, this isn't really that scientific. It's basically, if you believe it's something that's the highest priority to you, you should rate it one. If you really question whether it's a worthwhile public expenditure at all, you should probably rate it a five. And I'm not holding anybody to their ratings. I'm just trying to get a general indication of where the committee is, because if everybody rates something a one, I got a general feeling that the committee pretty much thinks that that's a high priority for public expenditures. If I have two-thirds of the committee rating something a five, I know I've got problems on that particular issue in the committee in terms of whether or not they believe that that should be something that should be continued. So it's not meant to be scientific. It's not going to be actually reported back to the co-chairs as this is a 2.5 and this is a 3.1 or, you know, some average. It's just to give me just a general indication. Yes.
But we're looking at the program as it's been presented to us. We're not looking at the amount of money. We can't say this program is a one, but I think we only need half this much or something. Are we looking
right
at?
Or, you know,
so
if you think that...
we can't divide it up.
No, you can't really divide it up, but you could actually, I mean, I hate to use this, I won't use this comparison. in that case, I'd rate something as a two. That generally would mean that you're inclined to think that this is important, but that, you know, you may not think that it should have that level of funding. If you rate something as a 4, it probably means more like you question its, you know, how worthwhile it is, but you're open to suggestion on how worthwhile it might be. Keep in mind, too, that in this sheet you'll be doing this on a number of items. And if you look at the sheet across, it'll show general funds. Is that other funds or is there a lottery fund? Yeah, general funds, lottery funds. And then there will be a whole lot of these that will not show up, but we'll have a total funds expenditure that is neither general funds or lottery funds. Go ahead and rate those. But to be honest, those are probably federal funds, and in a few cases they may be other funds in terms of things generated. But those will probably not be that much of the committee's concentration in the discussion. It will be more towards the general fund and lottery fund expenditures. That doesn't mean that if you don't believe that a federal expenditure that we're making is worthwhile, that you shouldn't indicate that you don't think it's worthwhile. I would note, too, in the K through 12 area, I have added two items because I've had a couple of people who've come to me on these items. They were cut from the governor's budget. They are relatively small items. One is the student leadership centers.
What page?
This would be page 3.
Thank you.
And the other is the Frontier Learning Network. Neither one are actually in the governor's budget, so I wanted to get some kind of an indication from the committee what the committee felt the importance of those two items are. Now, I think there's going to be some cases in here, and I wouldn't worry about it too much, where it's not going to be clear to you what the program is in terms of the full program is going to be clear to you. But the subcomponent's not going to become clear to you what that actually is. Don't take this as an exam where you're going to pass or fail. Don't put more weight on this than it actually should have. This is just sort of just a preliminary indication to me of where the committee is. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to bind anybody in future votes or anything like that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Let me add something from our staff point of view. I don't know what your reaction will be to seeing this list and thinking, wow, look at all these things. If you have an instance where there's a program there where you really don't think you know what it is or what it does, that would be helpful to us to know either by leaving the ranking blank or by putting a number in, by putting in some kind of notation. We need to know which programs, where there's been a insufficient information provided to you. And that would be helpful. Also, if as you're doing this you have any questions, please call me or call Sue McGlashan if it's a K-12 question. And we'd be happy to give you the information, any information we can to help you out. Yeah. But it would be really helpful to us if there's a program there that you really don't feel comfortable that you know what they're talking about. Just
put a question mark.
Something.
Just put a question mark that you don't.
So on the second page is a lot of programs with no general fund and lottery fund at the top. So we don't even worry about those.
Not unless you want to. I mean, I think we have responsibility to look at all expenditures within the budget. So I would say if you believe it's something that you should indicate, go ahead and do it. I think the usefulness of this sheet is going to last for maybe a week until we get into phase 2. So that's the reality of this.
Do it in pencil.
Don't do it in and disappearing ink.
But we're not helping you or the co-chairs if we do everything as a 1 either, right?
Right. You're not helping us there either. And I think it's the thing that Mr. Bender brought forward is actually very good. If you don't have a clear understanding of what an expenditure is, do it as a question mark, because that'll give us a more clear indication in phase 2 of some of the areas that we need to actually concentrate on so that the committee has a better understanding of them. I did sense that during the Department of Education's presentations, in particular, there was a lack of clarity and what certain Department of Education programs actually did. And so there may be other areas like that also. You know, let me point out one, just as an example, that I don't think probably everybody, probably most of the people here know what this is. State school fund, local option equalization grants. It's $500,000 in general funds. This is part of the local option program. It's basically when a school district goes out and gets a local option, but its property values are such that it cannot generate three-quarters of what the average school district could generate from a local option, that the state actually comes in and equalizes that local options to that three-quarters level. I believe there are only a couple of school districts, maybe two or three, that avail themselves of this, the largest one being Pendleton, actually. And it's actually... I think some of these, we've given you some indication of this, but some of these are clearly in state law, and that's one of them that is. It's in state law that equalization grant will be there. Obviously, it's still probably up to the appropriations process, but I think it would be clearly noted if we did not appropriate the money for that equalization, because that was part of the whole discussion in terms of local.
Now, look right above that. All other expenditures is $236 million.
I mean, that's right. You might put that one as a question mark so you get a clear idea of what all those other expenditures are.
That's my number one priority.
As you notice, that I'm not saying that you can do it much differently, but the Department of Ed ranked everything in the state school fund as a one priority. So we will also be distributing to you tomorrow, or probably tomorrow at the earliest, but maybe Monday.
Do you want to get it out tomorrow?
Okay. I was giving you some.
Thanks. I need to get that out too.
We will have a complete compilation of all of the performance measures from all of the agencies that we will be dealing with next week before you. And it should include all of their performance measures, to some degree some of the suggestions by the chairs. Were we able to get that?
Well, Mr. Chair, as I started working on this, it turns out to be actually quite a project to get all this information together. It was my hope to distribute to you tomorrow a list of the agency, all of their performance measures that they're proposing. During this next week, you really are not going to be making any decisions on the performance measures themselves, but this would be a tool for you as you work through this process that you have here and through all of next week of prioritizing programs, to look at the performance measures and to see how these programs are related to the things that the agency considers itself that are related to how the agency is measuring its success. So the relationship between these programs and how they're measuring the success. So I'm hoping to get to you a list of the programs that the agencies consider to be performance measures that they consider to be important, just as these are the programs that they consider to be important. And then shortly after the beginning of phase two, provide that greater list that would have all of what the co-chair changes and what your changes, suggested changes were. I don't think I can get that to
okay.
you tomorrow.
So tomorrow you will just get the compiled list of all their performance measures. But I think I've indicated to many members of the committee that the co-chairs have had problems with literally the performance measures in every agency that we have reviewed, so that when we do get into phase two, we will have that more complete listing along with comments from the committee that have been relative to those, so that we can start to work on final performance measures for the agencies. The one reason why you're having the performance measures tomorrow is it is a suggestion in phase two that if it isn't a requirement, but in phase two, one of the ways that you can look at prioritization is by also looking at the performance measures. That's one of the things that the co-chairs have indicated as an option. I do not know how much we will get into that. To be fairly honest, we are going to have a total of about 8 hours to discuss all of these agencies in total, and I think our discussion, I will have to be careful to keep our discussion broad and at times focused, but not to get bogged down on one singular area, because we're supposed to be just giving sort of a general direction to the co-chairs, not directing them to move $200,000 here or $300,000 there. It's more supposed to be just our general feelings about the agency's budgets and what we think the priority should be.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to suggest that we may need to have some flexibility around that 8 hours. This is a lot of information to digest and fully understand. These are huge decisions that we are charged with making. And so we may need to look at evenings. We may need to look at using that Friday piece of the schedule. We have a tendency in this process to rush our way through to conclusions, and that's how you make errors. And so I just want to caution us at this point in the process that I'm going to carry this message forward tomorrow when we have our full Ways and Means meeting. Let's be careful and thoughtful, and let's slow ourselves down where we need to do that so that we do this well.
I agree with that. You know, if the co-chairs were to give us some additional time, I think it would be beneficial. The Fridays are probably a fair option, because I think that there's a fairly good chance, unless somebody hasn't told me something, that we may not have a full this coming Friday. Mm-hmm. So we would have an option there. I'm also cognizant that most members have every other hour booked other than their hours on subcommittees already with other meetings. And Senator Gordley, as you know, our leadership has been very kind to us to book us with a whole host of meetings on Fridays. But I understand your concern. I would point out one thing also. You received two copies. The reason is so that you can retain a copy and that you can give a copy to Mr. Bender that he'll share with me also, because I think we will be using that just to get a general indication. If you could bring these back on Monday, just to get a general indication. We won't have much preview for Monday, but at least for Tuesday, we will have some preview to know in general how the committee is feeling about some issues in various areas. And like I say, I'm not holding anyone to whatever they put down on this sheet. I'm just trying to get a general indication of the committee. And I do think, again, that it's pretty helpful if you are unclear about an area that you put a question mark there, because that'll give me and Mr. Bender a really clear indication of some of the areas that we can tell agencies, too, in their Phase 2 presentations, that they need to provide some clarity to.
I think you can... Mike, you know, being the new guy and going through this, I don't think that when we went through it Phase 1, I was trying to look at numbers, but I don't think I really, from what was being presented, I couldn't tie that to a
right
to a line here. So I may have a lot of question marks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And that's fine. And that's fine. You know, I really don't think that anybody, I don't want to prejudice the case, but I don't think anybody's really going to mark. They might mark a question mark on the all other expenditures on the state school fund, but I don't think too many people are going to mark fives in many of those portions on the state school fund. They might question what the level of funding is for those, but I don't think that they're going to do that. There are, and I should note, too, that we are not actually next week going to be dealing with the capital expenditures in either community colleges or in higher ed.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
The other concern I have, and it's a concern, again, that's related to the process overall, not just this committee. But we need to be communicating more clearly to the public what their role is, where and how they enter the conversation. For example, next week as we're going through the process, what materials, what printed materials will be made available to the public who will want to also understand what it is we're doing and how we're doing it. Again, the process that we're going through with in Ways and Means this time around is different, you know, and we're inventing it, some of it, as we go along. As someone said the other day, we're doing just-in-time planning. And so you have to build in. We need to do a better job, I think, of building in time to communicate what that planning is and what it is we're doing to the public. Not just the public that resides in the building with us, the lobby, etc., but those members of the public who would want to come and participate with us if they knew what it was we were doing differently this time.
I do believe that the public will have a lot of opportunity to participate with us in phase two. Do we have final approval from the co-chairs on that schedule yet?
Yes, I was planning to distribute
okay.
that.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and distribute that schedule, because I've asked in particular that, and they've approved it, that in addition to whatever public hearings that we have outside the building, we will have a full public hearing before the State School Fund and the Oregon Department of Education. We will have a full public hearing mm-hmm. after the State School Fund and the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. And we will have a full public hearing before getting into each area of the other budgets, so that there will be one for community colleges, there will be one for higher ed, there will be one for the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, and one for OHSU. And I'm largely planning to devote those days just to public speaking to the committee and having dialogue with public coming in to the committee on those days. I would actually probably personally actually prefer more, mm-hmm. but I fought to get those number of days from the mm-hmm. and so they agreed with that. And
I feel very strongly about the public testimony piece of it, and I just think that we really need to push back with our good colleagues who are carrying the other leadership roles, and stress the importance of building in more public testimony time.
You know, one suggestion, and this is something that's just coming to me in the last 10 seconds, is on some of these days when, I hate to say this to my committee members here, but on some of the days here when we do not have fulls, maybe the full should still be meeting and hearing public testimony.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And giving the public some opportunity to come in, and so that members that don't serve on those subcommittees can hear from the public on some of those issues, because those issues ultimately will come to the full committee.
Absolutely.
I totally support that.
Yeah.
Again, we're doing performance based budgeting. This is new, you know.
Yeah.
Give people an opportunity to weigh in.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
We were told today that the co-chair's budget is due out the 28th. Is that correct?
Or the 4th. 4th of April.
4th of April. Okay. Now, at that time, will we have a number for this committee from them?
Well, that is probably... What was the old expression? That's the that's the something question. I think we will have hopefully a general number from them, and I would think also that they will actually obviously be making specific recommendations in individual budgets. I can't speak for the co-chair of the House, I probably shouldn't speak for the co-chair of the Senate either, but I do not believe that the co-chair of the Senate believes that that number is a final number for the committee in the sense of the overall number for education may be pretty hard and fast number depending upon how their deliberations go. But the component numbers within those budgets are probably not, I don't think in his mind, hard and fast numbers. I mean, in the sense he's expecting the committee to do the work and set priorities and justifying changes from those numbers. But I think clearly we have a considerable amount of latitude in coming to an independent judgment on individual programs about what the funding level should be.
I think, Representative Wisnant, that you should ask that question tomorrow when we are in full, because it's a question, I am sure, that is being framed by our other colleagues who are serving on other committees who are also trying to figure out how this is going to work and how we're going to make it work well.
Yeah.
So I think our job is to ask lots of questions and to question our assumptions.
Okay. And Representative Mark.
I mean, certainly I'm glad you're building in the public time, and I would fully urge you to urge our co-chairs to use some of that other meeting time, because while we're looking at these performance measures in a academic manner in some sense, the public are the ones who can really judge how these agencies are performing. And so input from them is critical for when I have to vote on human services budget and the other budgets as well as these.
I think that's very clear, because I mean the chances are that unless, and they meet at the same time that we meet, unless I was to go to a human services subcommittee and hear testimony, I would never actually hear from human services interests other than them coming to my office, which they come to my office a lot. But unless I attended one of those hearings, and I think the same would be true of somebody that's maybe on like natural resources and economic development and transportation, and ultimately the people on the poll have to vote on all of those issues. So they should have at least some benefit of public input on those. So I think Senator Gordley and I both will be making a recommendation to the co-chairs tomorrow that they take some of these full days and when we don't have a full, and allow the public to come in and testify.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to go over?
If I could just briefly just comment on a few more things. We have distributed the schedule for tentative schedule for phase two, which is before you. I would ask you to note that on the week of March 21st through 25th, which is of course next week and is shown in gray on this calendar, that there are specific days when you'll be working on specific agencies' program priorities. We've asked the Department of Education to be available on Monday and Tuesday for you to go through their programs and the state school fund programs. On Wednesday, Community Colleges and Workforce Development at OSAC, and then on Thursday, Department of Higher Education at OHSU. It may be helpful. I don't know if it really will be helpful, but my suggestion would be, at first at least, you might want to bring in your presentation materials for the agencies for the days, you know, on those week when you're coming in, because there may be references there that we can look at as questions come up that would provide immediate answers to the questions that do come up. But we've asked staff from these agencies to be here in case you have any questions to them as to why they chose the priority order that they did, why they identified programs as they did, or why they didn't identify them more programs and be more specific in their programs. So they will be available to answer those type of questions. And, of course, LFO will also be available to assist in with questions that you may have. You're going to be tomorrow in your full Ways and Means Committee meeting getting a lot of detail about the process for next week and the process for phase two. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I do want to show you something that I put together that'll take some of what you'll hear tomorrow and put it specifically in terms of your subcommittee. What the co-chairs have done is they've asked subcommittees to divide the workload into three broad categories, which they're calling the phase one large, the phase two small, and the non-phase one agencies. And what this page shows is what you'll be asked to do during phase two for each of these types of agencies. And I'd like to start off with the phase one large agencies. They're called phase one large agencies because you have already, you know, heard from them and worked on them in phase one. And they're considered large because they're of a size of the budget that there needs to be some type of overall budgetary agreements reached before it would be possible to pass those budgets out to the floors. The agencies that you have that are the large that are in this category are Department of Ed, State School Fund, Community Colleges, Higher Ed, OHSU, and OSAC. So it's most everything that you've got. And what you're going to be asked to do in phase two is to review budget detail, that is to start looking at the numbers, seeing where the money's coming from, where it's going, and how the costs are determined, to receive agency responses to questions and to performance measure change requests. So you're going to be working further on their performance measures as well as on their budgets and requesting perhaps changes to those performance measures. This is also a time to receive public testimony, and as the chair has mentioned, he has set aside certain days entirely for public testimony, which are shown on your schedule for each of these phase one agencies. And you're also asked to complete initial work sessions and components of the budget. What this may be would be not to have a complete budget that you could then send forward to your full committee colleagues and then onto the floor, but there may be certain technical adjustments or decisions that you are at a point where you can make those decisions, do some work sessions, and then basically when you get back in phase three, just to have the remaining funding decisions left. So that is the request from the co-chairs of what you should do for these six budgets. There's also a set of budgets, phase two small agencies. The only budget that you have that falls in this category is the Oregon State Library. It is also I should have called that phase one small agencies, excuse me. But this is also a budget that you heard in phase one. And what you're being asked to do for the state library is to do everything that is being requested for the large agency. So those four first bullets are the same as for the large agencies, plus one other thing. In this particular case, you'll be asked to complete the final work session if that's possible for you to do so. So they're hoping to see this budget actually come out in subcommittee during phase two. And then finally, there are the set of non-phase one agencies. These are state agencies that did not have any presentation so far during this legislative session. And you actually have a lot of them. I've listed 15 of them there. There's actually a 16th, which I failed to put in just due to an error on my part. You might want to add that. And that's the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. That's another non-phase one agency to add to the other 15. And in this particular case, what the co-chairs are asking you to do is to do everything that you're going to be doing on these budgets here in phase two. So that means to do all the phase one stuff, which is to look at the missions, the performance measures, the priority lists, reduction options, do all of the phase two stuff, and then also to complete the work sessions and to pass these out during phase two. As you can see, the way that we've scheduled this is, if you look back at your calendar, each Monday you will be dedicated to these non-phase one agencies. And primarily the way that this is established is, on a particular Monday, you will have public hearings on these agencies, and then the following Monday would be the work sessions on the agencies you heard the prior week, plus a new cycle of public hearings starting so that after the first week, you'll always be some work sessions and some public hearings. And we'll see if this works. Hopefully this will work and be a process that will get these out. Also during the week of April 25th through 29th, also on Tuesday and Wednesday, on Tuesday you'll have the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, which is another non-phase one agency. And then the State Library, which is that one phase two small agency.
And a few of the health licensing boards will actually have fee bills also attached to them, so we'll have to deal with those bills also. And there may be at least one that will have a policy-related bill attached to it.
Mr. Chair, I have a request that we will need Mr. Bender's help with. In a previous session, maybe two sessions back, we passed legislation that required health licensing boards to strengthen their diversity efforts. And those boards are responsible and accountable for reporting their progress in that regard. I don't recall the bill number. But I would request that each of these health licensing related agencies bring that report forward as a part of their. Thank you.
Even though there's only half of the committee here, one of the things that I would ask in the health licensing boards and others is that you're going to literally have a Monday away from, in most cases, things that are education related. But we still need full attendance on those Mondays, even though these are relatively small budgets. Also, if after a Monday on one of these you have any problems, you need to let me and Mr. Bender know, because if there's a problem, we won't be wanting to bring it back to a work session the next week, probably before we resolve the problem, because we'll want to make sure that we can simply just get them out. Most of these, with a few notable exceptions, most of the health licensing are $350,000, $400,000, $500,000 or less agencies, one or two FTE or less. And I don't think that there should be a great deal of controversy on their budget. So we're hoping to do this rather expeditiously, but we will need to ensure that we always have good attendance on Mondays to be able to do that. Because I don't want these
to vote on their budgets too.
We'll vote after the first week. We will be voting on their budgets the next week, and so I don't want us to have to push any of these things off to the days that we have devoted to purely education budgets, because of we lacked a quorum on one day or something of that nature. So I'm just hoping to do this thoroughly.
You're looking towards the side of the aisle that has a quorum, sir.
Well, or I should look at my side that occasionally has a quorum issue, and look away from my side that never really has a quorum issue.
Yes, thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Yes,
the Teachers Standard and Practice Commission. Did we get a sheet from FLO? You know, on that in our original overview or anything, we have some background on that.
We didn't get an overview on.
No, we really didn't give you an overview on those other funds agencies, but we can get something.
Could you get ahead of time? I'd like to look at that. I've had some of my colleagues are concerned, and I'll especially about why they're in leased facility.
Okay.
When I understand their space in ODE.
Good question to ask.
Their placement in the schedule, this is just an observation, is also kind of strikes me as kind of weird, in that the TSPC, the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, is an education related agency and really belongs. I understand, you know, it's a smaller non phase one agency, etc., but in terms of their function,
yeah,
it's out of order, out of sequence in terms of how we're talking about the public policy areas.
It kind of gets, I think, caught up in the other agencies in that it's self-funded by, through the license fees that are generated, but it is unusual.
We should note also for you that in putting this schedule together, the co-chairs didn't take it away from all the other. They did give us an extra week. Senator Gordley and I lobbied for an extra 2 or 3 weeks, but they gave us an extra week. But one of the ones that Mr. Bender has noted to me that's going to be a little bit difficult is Department of Higher Ed, because we've got a public hearing and then 3 days to do all the Department of Ed budgets. That may be one where we have to spill over to a Friday meeting or an evening meeting on to be able to complete.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I think most people are aware of, but can you go over, just so they understand, this column 16?
Oh, sure.
So that they, I mean, pretty much self-explanatory, but...
This is back to the list of program priorities. The chair is asking about the column labeled column 16. And if you'd like, I could just take a few of these columns and indicate what they are. But column 16 is...
constitutional.
Indicates whether the program is required. If it has a C, the program is required by the Constitution. If it has an F, the program is required under federal law. If it's S, it's required under a state statute. So something, there should be at least an S in all of them. And if it's D, it's debt service, and the funding is required either because it's a general obligation or else there's some kind of obligation involved. Now, all of these, if you look at, for example, this first page, the Department of Education quoted everything in the state school fund is constitutionally required. Now, if you look at these particular programs, I mean, clearly it's not the case that the Constitution requires data systems. I mean, it's just the way that they wrote that out.
Why did they do that?
Well, it was their definition of constitutional requirement.
Just thought I'd ask.
The crafters of the Oregon Constitution in the 1800s understood data systems, and that's why they put... Just kidding.
Some of the other items that are on this chart that may not are on this table that may not be, you know, really clear. The chair has already pointed out that there may be other funds or federal funds that are not included here. The only reason I did not show those were in the original table, was to get things to fit more.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're trying to not give you the information. And you have the complete tables for all of these agencies separately. But if you have any questions about other funds or federal funds, please let me know. The column 13, FTE, this is not, you know, because this is education, it may be confusing in the sense, is this a student count? It's not. It's a count of state employees. So for the state school fund, when you see zeros, those funds, of course, do fund a lot of employees, but they're local government school district employees. If you go to page 2, halfway down the page, you'll see the Oregon School for the Deaf. And there's a FTE count of 100.15. That's because that's a state-run school. I mean, there are state employees there. That is what that column indicates. And the final one that I wanted to talk about was column 14, where it says POPYN, yes or no. POP is an acronym for Policy Option Package. And what a Policy Option Package is terminology for either a new program that was not previously in place or approved as of the 2003 legislative session, or in some cases, an elimination or a reduction of a program that was approved. So in other words, if you see a no there, this should be a existing program. If you see a Y there, a yes, this should be a new program that the governor is proposing. I don't think that all agencies coded this consistently, however, because in some cases a program might be an existing program where there's some addition in place, and I think some agencies in that case would have coded it no and some would have coded it yes. So you have to take that, you have to be a little wary of that. But if you see a Y there, it should be a new program that doesn't already exist.
Where am I missing Department of Education? Because they should have FTEs.
They are on... Yes, they should have FTEs here. I'm not sure why
they didn't come out in the spreadsheet.
I'll ask Sue McGlashan about that.
Yeah.
So is that it's not central operations, is that?
No, these are clearly, they identified FTEs for each one of these in the presentation. Remember also in the presentation they had some errors in their FTEs. And
okay, they start right here with this accountability down. Is that
right.
What we're thinking? Is
Yeah.
And they had some errors in their original FTEs, and yeah. We had corrected them by hand, actually. So Sue may have actually had deleted them, and basically when you're trying to compile these together to get them in accurately. So
so the 185 is the total. Is that what we're looking? Let's look at the third page.
Well, that's the total of what's here, and that's deaf and blind.
Much higher FTE counts, yeah.
I don't think that's a problem with any of the other agencies.
Sure. The only other thing would have been helpful, I guess we can go back and look at other sheets, but I would, you know, where the governor's budget cut off and some of these programs are not funded, like, you know, where is Head Start pre-kindergarten?
It's here.
All of these, everything in here is in the governor's budget, except at the level that it is in the governor's budget. So if you look at the dollar amounts, the Head Start would be the Oregon pre-kindergarten program, which would be on the page one, the fourth from the bottom.
Okay.
That is the amount that's in the governor's budget for Oregon pre-kindergarten.
And this, the other one here, the early intervention, early childhood, is that's the 0-2 program, right? That's the
Head Start or not?
Well, Oregon Pre-K is Head Start. The EIECSE is the early intervention, early childhood special education programs, which I believe is the very early intervention programs, the birth to two programs. Is it? I believe it is. That's the one where he added $5 million to make up for increases in costs. And pre-K is the one where he took $11 million away.
Well, the good thing is we'll have the agencies here with us when we walk through.
We have to give our test in before.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Bender, is there, on, for example, the federal funds area, mm-hmm. Is there some sort of easy way to identify which ones of these federal funds require a maintenance of effort, which yep. ones okay. require matching mm-hmm. funds, and which ones are just pure grants?
We could put that information together for you. It is not on here.
Okay.
And in terms of just discussing the importance of the programs as opposed to the funding levels, it may be actually helpful not to really concern yourself with that. But I do, of course, understand what
later on down the process. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, as we start playing around with the numbers, we want to know whether we're affecting
sure.
federal money.
I do want to be careful here and to say that I do know that next week is not an end at all in this process. It's barely even a beginning in the process. So
we're
not
only a tenth of the way through the session.
Yes. So I'm not expecting, you know, when we get into one of these major areas, to actually go to eight different committee members and just ask even for their general comments on the Department of Education. Just to do all eight, and along with some interaction with both staff here, LFO staff, maybe BAM staff, agency staff, just to do that may take an hour. So I'm not imagining that we are going to get into a great debate over each single item on this list in a two-hour period of time. Being, you know, all of higher education is on let's see, what do we have on day?
That would be higher education would share Thursday with the Oregon Health and Science University.
Right. So we have an hour for both. So I'm...
If you weight the budgets, maybe we'd spend a little more time on higher education.
Well, actually, if I weighted the budgets, we'd spend 3 days on the state school fund. And but I think we're I don't think we should overthink this. We're supposed to give some general comments to the co-chairs. We're not supposed to give them a line item identification, how what we want each line item to be.
So you don't want to see 1.5. You want to see one or two.
I'm not planning on taking any votes.
Thank you.
And I am planning on that there will be disagreements in the committee on some issues, and that's inevitable, and that's part of the process. So, well, now we're down to, we're still a quorum on the health side. Are there any additional things? If you could bring these in Monday morning when we'll start at 8:30, it'd be very helpful. And we'll try to figure out ways to meet with your colleagues before Monday that are not here, or send materials to them.
We'll be sending them materials.
Yeah.
Again, we'll also, there's one more item that you'll be getting tomorrow, and that's the list of proposed measures.
Yeah. Thank you.
Which will be probably as long as this list or longer.
So Monday we bring out the book from Education School Fund.
Okay.
I should do it.
I guess I close the meeting. That'll close our meeting for today.